Welcome to the Malingerer's Manual. I'm Dr. Larry Hausman, and over the next 45 minutes, I'll be showing you how to get out of absolutely anything you don't want to do. From a romantic date to a job that plain stinks. I'll be showing you what to do when you know in your heart of hearts that simply telling the truth is, well, inappropriate. How you could instead turn to the next best thing to honesty, and that's malingering. The art of feigning illness or incapacity for personal benefit. And over the next 45 minutes, I'll be revealing to you the five secrets which can turn you from a malingering malfunction into a malingering master. As my polygamous grandfather used to say, it only takes one person to feel you're in a relationship for you to have to get out of it. And for some people, things can get kind of crazy. Take Rupert, for example. Let's listen in now as he faces a little relationship difficulty.
Did you call the caterers?
You're
supposed to have confirmed numbers.
Oh, yes.
Well, did you at least make copies of the special readings? Check the policy on tossing petals? Or call the florists about the lilies?
The lilies?
I just know they're not going to open in time.
Yeah, Jem.
No lilies, no wedding.
Oh, really?
And I, for one, will not be standing over them all night with halogen spots.
Right, Jem.
And you did absolutely tell them that Mummy despises yellow.
Can we ever talk?
Of course we can, darling. It's just that sometimes I get the feeling that I'm the only one getting married in 3 days. You've 30 seconds, fire.
Oh, right. Well, I should have told you this a long time ago.
Yes, what?
Well, it's actually pretty important.
Why do you always have to do this? Hello, Jemima Brown speaking. What's happened? Go on, you've 30 seconds. Oh. No. Right, you. No!
Oh, Jem, what is it?
It was the patissiere.
Yes?
About Mummy.
Yes.
Oh, they're having problems remodelling her figurine. Oh, Rupert, I just want everything to be perfect.
I know, Jem, I know.
Why can't I tell her, George? Why can't I just tell her the truth?
Not this again.
Why won't the words come out? Why can't I just say the words?
Because you love her.
I love her? And that explains the misery, nausea, and bouts of vomiting.
Oh, yes, love's a many splendid thing.
Yeah, but what if it's not love? What if it's hate?
Rupert, as the big day approaches, your nerves just try to confuse you, that's all. Anyway, no one with an ounce of humanity would dream of pulling out now.
Yeah? Now I should go and weigh myself.
No, I'll tell you what you should do. You should start thinking about other people for a change. It's not just your big day, you know.
Oh, no. Poor dear.
Not her, me.
You?
You think 10 long girlfriendless years has been easy, dear? Hey? One long roll in the hay on my own? When those women see me up there making the best man speech in the entire world, I'll finally be noticed. And that's all I ask, that I'm considered. Which is why you're getting married on Saturday, and believe me, there's no way out. Really. If it was me marrying Jemima, I'd be singing it from the rooftops.
Singing?
From the rooftops.
Of course. Sing it.
Rupert, come back here. I wanted to show you the speech, Rupert.
Just one thing, Mr. Maidenhead.
What?
You do want a humorous delivery.
I don't care how you do it, just do it.
But it is a joke, isn't it?
No, it's serious, very serious.
Oh.
Are you ready?
Look,
why does a singing telegram have to bring just good news, eh? Okay?
Yes, Mr. Maidenhead.
Are you sure you've no other outfit?
Just the clown.
Right, well, at least take off the red nose. Right, now remember, the cue is now. Hide by the door. I'm going in.
Okay, let's hold things right there. And I want you to ask yourself this. Can't you see just a little bit of yourself in Rupert? I mean, I'm sure you're not that bad, but haven't there been times when you'd have done almost anything else but tell someone bad news? Oh, come on now, I know you have. We all have. Because we're nice people. And nice people don't like going around intentionally upsetting others. Well, here's the good news. There's another way. The malingering way. And I'll be explaining to Rupert just how when I make my entrance in a little while. Oh, don't worry, you won't miss me. I'll be the one wearing the authentic Cockney accent. Okay, Roll it on. I'm just dying to hear this telegram.
My God, Rupert, this fish theme has opened up a complete can of worms.
Now!
Yes?
Now!
Now what?
Now! Oh, look, hold on.
What are you doing? Didn't you hear my cue?
I'm sorry.
What? What's wrong?
I can't do it. I can't break up a marriage.
You are not breaking up a marriage. You're breaking up a wedding. Oh, don't start sobbing.
The agency said I'd be bringing joy into people's lives.
You are. Into mine.
Right, give me the words. Give it. I'll do it myself.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Maidenhead.
What's the tune?
Land of Hope and Glory.
Right. These the words?
Yes, sorry. Bye, then.
Jem. Jem.
Rupert, who were you talking to?
Jem and Rupert were due to get married, you see. These don't even scan. And then when he decides...
Hello, Rupert!
Ah, Mrs. Brown! I didn't see you there hiding behind that door.
Serenade your bride. How romantic.
Yes, you know.
Jem, darling, could you spare Rupert for an hour or so? His future mother-in-law would like to take him to tea. I have a rather important matter to discuss.
Oh, no.
Now, first of all, I need to give you this. It's a matrimonial alarm clock. It counts down to the big day and wakes you up with a very charming bridal tune.
Oh, thank you.
Please use it. Punctuality isn't one of your strong points. Now, there's something you need to know about Jemima. 4 years ago, she was dating a very successful and adorable hydrant technician from Newcastle. I think he travelled round the country checking hydrants or something. Anyway, they talked about marriage, children, and everything seemed perfect. Until one day, he told her he was in love with someone else. Obviously, he hadn't just been checking hydrants.
Oh, dear.
Well, even as a little girl, Jem wasn't very good at taking disappointments.
What did she do?
Stabbed him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he was able to parry off the first few incisions. Poor Jem. She's never been a very good cutter. Have you noticed how her bread sticks in the toaster?
Were the police involved?
No. He fled the country.
Right. Let's just get these out of the house before I finally tell her.
Oh, there you are, Rupert.
Ah!
Go with Mummy. Rupert?
Yes?
What's she doing?
Doing? Oh.
With all our cutlery.
Where?
In your hands. Why are you holding all our cutlery in your hands?
Oh, just stabbing. Storting. Sorting!
Sorting?
Yeah, you know, the little ones from the more fatally big ones.
Oh. And where are you taking them exactly? For a little test drive? Oh, I do hope that's the florist. They said they were coming to have a look at the lily. Oh, hello.
Please, can I have my nose back?
Ah!
Over here, Rupert!
George, what are you doing? I told you no stag.
Shh, calm down.
I need to talk to you. I need to ask you something.
Of course, but first I want you to meet the best man's deputy best man.
Hello, Rupert.
Hans Grimchuk, an old school friend. Has more degrees than an English summer.
Oh, you're a mere doctor.
And an amazing inventor. Has an invention for everything.
Yeah, but not for the hangover.
Too bad. Cheers.
How do you do, Dr. Grimchuk? Look, George, I need to ask you a favour in private.
Of course, but first a toast to the best stag night.
Yeah, the best.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another night of fun and frolics at the Little Black Dress. It's that time again to welcome another groom to the room.
Why is everyone looking at me?
And you know what we like to do at the Little Black Dress when there's a new groom in the room?
George, I don't have time for this.
Yeah, we send him to the cubicle of love.
It's only 2 minutes, Rupert.
What is?
In the cubicle of love. Apparently she's a mute.
A mute?
So no talking.
George.
We can have a little chat after. Please? For Georgie?
great. Just great. So, where is this cubicle of love, then?
That door over there! There's my friend!
Hello? Hello? I say hello, anybody home? Hello?
Oh, get a grip, Maidenhead, she's a mute. She's not going to ask you, is she? She could at least grunt or something.
Hello? I say, where's the light? Oh, that's just perfect.
You looking for the way out?
Ah! Who's that?
Only two ways in life, Governor. The way in and the way out.
You're not the mute, are you?
She had to call a boyfriend.
Oh.
But $20 buys you the way out.
Oh, yeah? What exactly? The cubicle?
Look.
Ah, me arm! Ah!
I ain't here to play silly games.
No, of course not.
I've got a whole heap of stag nights to get through. And me Veruca's playing up.
Right, of course, sorry.
So do us a favour, eh? Let's talk business, shall we?
Right.
You interested?
In what, exactly?
I've been in the business long enough to know the signs. I've been watching you, and boy, do you need a way out.
Oh, do you mean out of the wedding?
I do.
How much did you say?
Just two tens. You won't find it cheaper.
And you're sure it works?
I wouldn't be here if it didn't.
Well, what have I got to lose?
Exactly.
Right. Here we go, that's one. Two tens.
You'll find everything you need on this.
A CD? You're giving me a CD?
You know, it wasn't that long ago that my own life looked like the back end of a buffalo.
Oh, really?
I was miserable, and I couldn't see a way out. But then, one glorious summer morning, that all changed. I remember hearing the birds outside singing and dancing their little socks off on my porch. And then my alarm clock began its usual, "Get up now, you'll be late," growl. Something inside me must have snapped, because instead of crawling out of bed as normal, I reached out for the phone, dialed my work, asked to speak to my boss, and heard myself say the following extraordinary words which would change my life forever. "I can't come in. I'm not feeling too good." I remember it now as clearly as I remember my first kiss. But that's what they say.
Rupert?
You are.
Rupert!
Dad!
What are you listening to?
Listening?
Or perhaps you were just keeping your ears warm with the headphones?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. You'll be relieved to know that George has taken full command of the Lily Crisis.
Oh, good.
Yes, isn't he an absolute darling? Now, big day tomorrow with rehearsal, so I'm off to bed to get my beauty sleep. I do hope that's not Bruckner. You know how he gives you indigestion?
No, it's not Bruckner. Night!
Unfortunately, I wasn't expecting my boss's follow-up question. "Sorry to hear that, Larry. In what way exactly do you not feel too good?" You gotta remember, I was young. I was inexperienced. I was naive. And I panicked. "I've got laryngitis!" I said it in a rather too unfalteringly clear voice. Painful though it was, I just learned my first secret.
The first secret of malingering mastery. Never overreach.
I can tell you now, the only reason your malingering is gonna fail is if you attempt an excuse which lies beyond your current malingering capabilities.
You reckon?
So it's vital you get a handle on your malingering quotient, or MQ. The higher your MQ, the more adventurous your malingering can be.
Got it.
Now, the International Malingering Confederation has allocated every excuse with an MQ certification. Food poisoning, for example, has a certification of just 18, reflecting the fact that most people can feign that.
Really?
Laryngitis is a surprising 26. So no wonder I got fired.
Now, to discover your own malingering quotient, simply answer the following questions.
I find it easy putting my needs first.
Not at all. No, I don't.
I feel uncomfortable even when telling a little white lie.
Yeah, very, I do.
Friends always trust my word.
Do they? I'm not sure. I wonder if they do.
George, I'm not a bad man, am I?
Wait a minute.
I mean, I'm normally quite a good friend.
What's that?
Wouldn't you say?
By the bush.
So I was just wondering...
At the bottom of the hill, see?
How would you rate me?
There's something white, Rupert.
For reliability.
Come on, let's take a closer look.
And honesty.
Am I someone you would associate with being a liar? I mean, do you ever doubt me? I need to know, do you ever question that what I say to you might not be the total and absolute truth?
Stop! Pass me the binoculars. Rupert, look, I'm your best man. Now, what do you think that makes you?
The groom.
It makes you one hell of a guy. I could have sworn they were lilies. Oh, come on, let's dry her up.
Congratulations! There are now just 45 hours to your wedding.
Now, keep your malingering quotient in a safe place.
15.
So, you know your MQ, and you've something you're desperate to get out of. Neat. But how on earth do you decide what excuse to use? You know, I really can't believe that in certain parts of Northern Europe, malingerers are still going around saying they need to stay in and wash their hair. Oh, come on, guys. Get a life.
The second secret of malingering mastery. How to choose your excuse.
There's only two types of excuses in this world. Melodic and non-melodic. Non-melodics are ideal for simple situations such as, say, getting out of a dinner party or an unpleasant romantic date. I'm so sorry, I don't think I can make it tonight. You see, the builders haven't arrived yet and I really do need to let them in. That's the stamp of a really great excuse, when you engender sympathy in the victim. Non-melodics never have an illness component and are therefore easier to plan and to execute, and this is reflected in their low quotients. Being double booked, for example, carries an MQ of just 17.
17? Blimey, mine's only 15.
So here's your first challenge. I want you to get out of something using a non-melodic. Why not call the malingerer's manual excuse line for some ideas? Excuse line is staffed 24/7 by graduates of my sixth school in L.A. with calls being charged at a premium rate. So, come on, baby. Let's start making excuses.
Thank you for calling Excuse Line. What can I help get you out of today?
Oh, hi. My wedding rehearsal, please.
Not a problem, sir. Would that be melodic or non-melodic?
Non-melodic, please.
Thank you. And your quotient?
15.
Ooh, that's so low.
Oh, is it?
I've never had such a small one.
Right, but you can still help me.
Of course. We all have to start somewhere. Excuse Line's recommendation for missing your wedding rehearsal with an MQ of 15 is traffic delays.
Right.
Suggested dialogue, I can't believe the state of our road infrastructure.
Infrastructure, yeah.
Don't you honk your horn at me, mister. It won't get us moving.
Horn.
So you want me to just leave the car on the freeway?
Freeway, that's
right. Accessories. Please use track 4 of the manual CD's ambient sounds. Can I help get you out of anything else today, sir?
No thanks. Oh, what? Look, maybe I'm pretty new to all this. It does work, doesn't it?
For further assistance, please enter your credit card details.
Rehearsals are such an excellent way for ironing out any little difficulties that may be encountered on the big day.
Like the groom being late? Where is he, George? I hope you realise I hold you personally responsible.
I'm so sorry, Jem. I'm sure he has a good excuse.
Rupert, where the hell are you?
Hold on a sec, Jen. I can't believe the state of our road infrastructure.
What? How could you do this to me? The vicar can't wait any longer. You're keeping everybody waiting.
Don't honk your horn at me, mister. It won't get us moving. Oh, hell.
Rupert, just answer the following question. Can you be here in the next 10 minutes?
What is happening?
Yes or no? Yes.
Ow.
Or no?
No.
Right. We'll talk about this later. George, would you be an absolute darling and stand in for my retarded groom?
Oh, yes, Jeff, I do. I will do.
Excellent. Positions, please, everyone. Let's begin.
Congratulations! There are now just 26 hours to your wedding.
Who am I kidding, George? I'm no actor. I've never lied in my entire life. I mean, just think, if I have that much trouble with non-melodics, what's going to happen to me when I try the melodics?
Rupert, what are you on about?
Oh, my God, she must be so furious. She's probably waiting for me by the door with a knife. I can't go home.
I can't even go home.
Grimchuck said this might happen.
My palms are sweaty. My forehead's dripping. My heart's racing. What's happening to me, George? Tell me, George. What are you doing? Am I going mad? Are these the first signs of madness?
Not at all. Just pop your head in there, please, would you?
What? Ah!
Quite a little inventor, is my friend Grimchuck. Calls this the Panic Attack 2000. Apparently it has all the efficacy of a brown paper bag, but with the added bonus of the sounds of a soothing Celtic sunset. Now, just need to set the timer.
George!
2 minutes, I reckon. Back in you go. You know the best thing about all this?
Get off!
This really makes me feel like a best man. Now, deep breaths. That's it. Deep breaths.
The 5th century Tibetan monk, Hero Tumaliki, was the first great malingering master, able to manifest at will any illness known to man. Legend has it that he could go from full health to complete chickenpox in less than 20 seconds, which still remains a record today. I'll be revealing to you the revolutionary technique he developed and show you how easy it is to create any malady. Now just imagine that. Any malady. A slipped disc at the drop of a hat. Dermatitis at your fingertips. A hernia just a stone's throw away. Okay, let's make a start now with the common cold.
This is great.
The third secret of malingering mastery, maladic visualization. Do not attempt this procedure while driving or operating heavy machinery.
Now make yourself as uncomfortable as possible and begin to feel a pressure over your eyes spreading to the rest of your face, your neck, your arms. Oh, you're beginning to feel dreadful. Really, really dreadful. And as your breathing becomes shallower and shallower, you feel your nose beginning to block with mucus as it drips from your sinuses as they swell, ache, and bulge. Nice. Let's move on to your sneeze.
Congratulations! There are now just 23 hours to your wedding.
Oh, so much to do. I just can't believe it's all going to finally happen tomorrow. Right, nails at 3, and George said he'll be collecting the lilies at 5. Oh, he's such a sweetie. He says he'll get those lilies to open if it's the last thing he does. And remember, Rupert, the checks for the organist, caterer and musicians. You must call the pâtissier, but don't you dare take no for an answer. There's absolutely marvellous things you can do with marzipan these days. Righto, see you later, darling.
Thank you for calling Excuse Line. I'm sorry, all our operators are busy right now helping other malingerers. Would you like to hold? Please say yes or no after the tone.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that. Please say yes or no after the tone.
Yes.
There seems to be a problem. Please state your language of choice after the tone.
English.
Your language of choice is
English.
Is this correct? Say yes or no after the tone.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
Did you say English? Yes or no?
No, I bloody didn't say English. I mean, isn't there anybody out there who can tell me how on earth I can get rid of this stupid block nose?
I may be automated, but that's no excuse for rudeness. Goodbye.
Congratulations! There are now just 21 hours to your wedding.
If you ever find that you're producing only partial symptomology from your visualizations, you're probably suffering from the malingerer's Satan. Guilt. Just saying the word makes me feel bad. But why, as malingerers, do we feel guilt? Why on earth should we feel bad when What we're only trying to do is improve our own lives.
Yeah.
Well, of course, most of the time, the guilt comes from the fact that we know it's just not nice to be dishonest. But listen up. Here's the deal. And thank God for Hero Tumaliki on this one, because it was he who in 434 AD discovered the Malingerer's Law.
The fourth secret of malingering mastery, the Malingerer's Law. If at the moment of declaration your excuse represents your reality, you will never experience guilt. Guilt. Guilt.
Guilt. Wow. Isn't that something? I mean, my head was kind of spinning when I first heard that one. You see, what he so ingeniously realized was that if in that moment when we reveal our illness or incapacity to others and, like the best of our Hollywood actors, we're just playing our truth, then it's simply impossible for us to be lying. And if we're not lying, we won't feel guilt. Neat, eh?
That'll be Mummy. Well, this is it, darling. I'll call you in the morning as we set off for church.
Right. Bye.
Have Mummy's bouquet arrive around 7, and don't forget the note thanking her for all her help.
Yes, of course. Bye.
Oh, and when George gets here, have him call me to tell me the latest on the Lily front.
Right. Bye.
Righto. I'll see you tomorrow, then. Whatever you do, don't be late.
Finally, time alone to prepare for the big one. My big Malinga. Oh, no. Hello? Hello?
Hi.
George?
I'm at the airport.
Oh, are you picking up some guests?
I'm leaving the country.
You're what?
The lilies, Rupert. They won't open. I've got them here. I've tried everything.
Oh, George, that's ridiculous.
I promised Jem. How can I show my face now?
Look, George.
Of course, it's not just about the lilies. I mean, the stag, the rehearsal. I've never been able to be the best man, Rupert. We both know that. But there is someone who can look after you far, far better than I ever could.
Oh, hang on a minute, George.
Hello, Rupert.
Grimchuck.
Bye, my friend. Good luck. Best to Jim.
George.
I have schnapps and strudel. And I shall not be letting you out of my sight. Now, where are your glasses?
Congratulations! There are now just 15 hours to your wedding.
No, no, Grimshook, I really have got things to do now.
Yeah, it can wait.
I've got to iron my shirt and polish my shoes. And lots of other things.
There is time for all this. But as your best, deputy best man, my advice is, first we drink.
Guten Abend, gute Nacht, mit Rosen bedacht. Oh, Rupert, so sweet in your little bed, so.
Congratulations! It's your big day!
Oh my God! Is that the time? What's he doing here? Excuse. I must get my excuse.
Thank you for calling Excuse Line. What can I help get you out of today?
My wedding.
Not a problem. Would that be melodic or non-melodic?
Melodic, definitely melodic.
Thank you. And your quotient? Your quotient, please.
48.
Wow. That's a really lovely quotient.
Thank you.
Excuse Line's recommendation for getting out of your wedding is... Oh...
Yes?
Oh, I'm sorry.
What? Why? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Always fine. Well, no, actually, to tell you the truth, I am not fine.
Yes, I'm a little pushed for time.
Now,
actually,
don't get me wrong. I love the work. I really do. It's so much better than shelf stacking at Kmart. Mm. I'm just so sick of having to recommend the same old stuff.
Yeah, how dreadful. Can I have my excuse, please?
Scarlet fever, tonsillitis, sinusitis. Do you know how many slip discs I've done this week? 242.
Right.
You know what I really long for? Someone to walk into my life with a big one just like yours and sweep me off my feet.
I see.
Surely a man of your malingering prowess would want to give your bride that little bit extra on her wedding day.
Well, you do have a point.
I say let's put the romance back into getting out of your wedding.
Oh, right, go on then.
Really? It's crossover stuff. Uses both melodic and non-melodic elements.
Yes, anything. Just give it me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Excuse Line's recommendation for getting out of your wedding with an MQ of 48 is a revenge chaining.
A what?
A revenge chaining. Has your fiancé ever upset an ex?
Actually, yes. Yes, she has.
Excellent. Now, accessories. You'll need a padlock for this one, and you'll have to feign, like, a whole range of emotional distress. First, open a window, knock over a few chairs, and then finally, you padlock your left leg to the bedpost. You do have a bedpost.
Well, yeah, but...
Dialogue. Obviously, the mad jealous ex has crept in during the night and carried out this despicable act of revenge chaining to sabotage your wedding. So, any phrases relating to his mania would be great. Oh, isn't this romantic?
I guess.
Marry me. Will you marry me?
No.
Oh, please marry me. I've been waiting for someone just like...
Poor girl. Must be lonely work. Right. Padlock. Where's my padlock?
Okay, the window is open. A few chairs are knocked over. So, right, now, onto the bed. Wrap the chain around my left leg and fasten the padlock to the bedpost. There. Well, that's that then. Oh, hell, I don't know the combination. Well, never mind, never mind. All I need to do now is to lie back and wait for the ceremony to pass. Rupert, you're almost there.
Alert! Departure of the church is imminent. Please prepare to leave the church immediately.
Oh, no.
There is just 1 hour to your wedding ceremony.
What's this noise?
Alert! Alert! Please leave the church immediately.
Oh, must turn off. It's just noise. Oh, my head.
Morning, Hans.
Too much naps.
Look, something terrible has happened.
Yeah, we overslept.
No, look, my leg.
My God.
Yeah, you see how it's tightly padlocked around my left leg? I can't move it.
This is catastrophic.
Yeah, absolutely. You see, her ex came storming in during the night and carried out this horrendous revenge chaining. Yeah, well, ghastly as it all is, I suppose I better call the church and cancel the wedding.
Yeah, this is not a good idea.
Oh, but I don't have the combination.
Yeah, but I am the best deputy, best man, yeah?
What's that? Is that one of your inventions?
Yeah.
What's it called?
The Empumatic 2000.
Oh, no, you mean you can cut through the chain?
Unfortunately, it is not designed for reinforced metals.
Oh, well, never mind. What are you going to do with it, then?
Amputate.
What?
Yeah, amputate. The Empumatic 2000 requires no need for anesthesia. We shall have you up and hopping about in time for the ceremony.
You're mad.
But this blade is too rusty. I go look in your kitchen for something sharper.
Hello?
Hi, darling. We're almost ready to set off for church. What's the lily news?
Jem, look, I need to tell you something.
Did George open them?
What?
The lilies. Yes or no? Mummy's dying to know.
No, look, Jem.
Oh, I expect that's a no, then. Listen, I must tell you, you're probably going to hate my new fringe. I seem to have grown 3 inches of forehead. Why do they always cut off more than you want? Rightio, mustache, break a leg.
Jem! Grimchuk!
Yeah?
Look, I better say goodbye to my leg. You know, I mean, it's been a pretty damn fine leg all these years, and I ought to give it a good send-off.
Yeah, good. Be quick, no time for long farewells. Perhaps you have a saw?
Yeah. Tell you what, have a look in the shed. Would you mind closing the door? I just need a bit of privacy, you know. And put the catch down. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for calling Excuse Line. What can I help get you out of today?
Oh, it's you. I need to speak to your manager.
Why, what's wrong?
I'm about to lose a leg. That's what's wrong.
Oh, dear. I'll put you through to customer services.
I still look for a saw.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Is that you, Houseman?
Cut to the chase, pal. I got a hot chick in my pool.
It's a complete and utter nightmare. They gave me a crossover, a revenge chaining. I'm about to lose a leg.
Bummer.
Yeah, well?
What?
What can I do?
Debrief.
Debrief?
Yeah, after every visualization, you need to debrief and restore yourself to perfect health.
How can a debriefing possibly help with my leg being chained to the bedpost?
Oh, yeah, fair point. What's your MQ?
My what?
Your malingering quotient.
15.
15? What the hell are you playing around with crossovers for, pal? You're not in that league. What are you trying to get out of, anyway?
Oh, this axe looks sharp.
My wedding, it's in an hour.
Look, stay on the line. Give your credit card details to my PA. She'll have a locksmith around your house. And in approximately 55 minutes, I'll be giving you an earshot.
A what?
An earshot. It's a live coaching session. Have your mobile phone earpiece in and I'll talk you through the malinger step by step. For weddings, I normally recommend a stomach ulcer. What do you like a retching?
As good as the next person.
Yeah, listen, the more vomiting you can fit in between now and the ceremony, the better, okay? I'll catch you later.
I have now found the necessary implements.
No joy.
Oh, driver, would you mind investigating as to whether this vehicle travels beyond the speed of a donkey?
Oh, Mummy, it's a vintage car.
Yes, but darling, at this lugubrious speed, the sleeping policemen are playing havoc with my corset.
Oh, you look lovely, Mummy. Oh. And I just know that everything's going to be perfect.
Oh, darling.
Oh, hello, nice to see you. Anyone on the left, please. Thank you, Vince.
Larry, I can't do it.
Oh, give me a break.
Ah, Uncle Tompkin. How nice to see you. On the right, please. Thank you. Yep. Why can't I just marry her?
You don't want to marry her.
Yeah, but right now, I don't think I'm capable of doing anything else.
Look, this isn't going to work if you just blabber. You're my eyes and ears, buddy. I need you to set the scene, okay?
Right.
Now, tell me what's happening.
What's happening is I'm walking down the aisle. There's about 100 guests here. I don't know, it's a beautiful, sunny day, bouquets of roses everywhere.
Yeah, sounds romantic. What type of church were you in?
I don't know, Gothic, 19th century.
Actually, it's early 16th. You're thinking of Gothic Revival.
Oh, okay.
Such a pity you missed the rehearsal, Rupert. Still glad to see you made it. Now, all you need do is follow my instructions. And he signed the best man yet.
I'm not totally sure.
I'm sorry, traffic delays. I can't believe the state of our road infrastructure.
Oh, yes, but you can't just leave your car on the freeway, can you?
No, Vicar, unfortunately not.
Freeway.
Excellent. Well, we'll be starting soon. Positions, please.
Oh, George,
back in a sec. Just got something to do.
Larry, not that tune.
Memories of the Empire? Hit me. So I give.
Jem and her mother have just arrived at the back of the church. George is going over to them. He's giving her a single white flower.
Oh, it's the lily. And it's open. Oh, she's delighted and, now she's crying.
Oh, yeah, that's so sweet. But I'm late for beach volleyball, so you think we could move things on a little? By the way, stay focused and never look into our eyes, okay? No eye contact. You may go all gooey and the next you might find is you got married.
Yes, I've got it, okay? Ah, George, I thought...
I just had to be here to tell you that Jem couldn't be marrying a nicer guy.
That's it, Larry, I'm through.
In the name of the Holy Spirit of Malingering and the teachings of the great hero Tumaliki, I cast you out and say, be gone. Be gone, malingerous Satan, be gone!
Is it a radio?
I can't hear anything.
Let us begin.
Be gone! Be gone!
Can you believe it? Someone has a radio on.
Any help?
Larry, just keep it down.
It's a wedding. What do you want? I get emotional.
Jem's walking down the aisle with her mum. Actually, you know, the Silk Duchess satin with the hand-beaded Swarovski crystals play off each other a treat.
What is this, London Fashion Week? Let out a yelp.
A what?
Don't you Brits yelp? A yelp?
A
Ow!
Oh, ow!
Louder.
Ow!
Okay, Rupert.
Look, Dumbo, when she reaches you at the altar, on my cue, you clutch your stomach and yell. Let me give it a few beats and you're wretch, okay? Hold on. Call waiting.
What, Larry?
Last night, Rupert, something very special happened at the airport.
Oh, really?
With the lilies.
Larry, you there?
I tried everything to get them to open.
Larry!
Hair dryers, loud music, even the vacuum cleaner. Don't know how it happened, but I just started talking to them. About all kinds of things.
Larry!
I was a child, no one would play with me. As a teenager, I couldn't get into anyone's gang.
Larry, they're near the altar.
And now, as George the adult, I just feel so terribly lonely. I guess I must have thought if I opened up, the lilies might too.
Well, it worked then.
No, what worked was finding the little bit of sellotape someone had stuck round the bud.
Ah, right, well, that's florists for you.
But that's when I realised you can't really bloom if you don't find your own little bit of sellotape.
Please all stand.
Larry, her mother is taking her seat. Gems right next to me.
Hello, Rupert, darling.
Land of hope and glory.
Everything fine, Rupert?
Yes, absolutely fine, thanks.
Excellent. Shall we begin? Dearly beloved, we are gathered here together in the sight of God, and in the face of this congregation...
Yelp time.
Ah!
Oh, louder, baby.
Ah!
Oh, Rupert.
I don't feel so good.
I don't feel so good.
Neat.
Neat.
Neat?
Neat.
Oh, just look at those beautiful windows over there. Didn't the Goths really know how to stay neatly?
Rupert Dunner.
No eyes.
Look at me.
What?
Look at me.
Oh, Jem, you look so lovely.
Oh, hell.
Rupert, shut up.
Shutting up.
May I continue?
Of course. I'm so sorry, Rupert.
I require and charge you both that as you will answer at the dreadful day of judgment, when the secrets of all hearts shall be disclosed...
After three, you wretch.
...that if either of you know of any impediment...
One.
...why ye may not be lawfully joined together in matrimony... Ye do now confess it.
What the hell was that?
It's Jem.
No kidding. Is she clutching?
Yeah, she is.
Wretch! Quick! You got a wretch!
Larry, she looks so pale.
Oh, wretch! You wretch! What's happening?
Jem's about to throw up.
For goodness sake.
Rupert, darling.
Dear.
I should have told you this before... I love George!
I said, Jemima, baby, you don't need to malinger. You're a strong woman, so you just come out and tell him the truth. But I think she kind of enjoyed it all in the end. As for Rupert, well, he only had himself to blame. He forgot the most important of the five secrets.
The fifth secret of malingering mastery. Never, ever be out-malingered.
You see, he'd taken out a gold earshot, whilst Kenny Jemima invested in the platinum. And the platinum service carries with it a never-knowingly out-malingered money-back guarantee. Well, that's almost it for me. Follow the five secrets, and I can assure you that your life will never be the same again. Good luck! And God bless. But most of all, get out there. Get malingering. And together, let's make this world a happier place.
Larry! What are you doing? Join me and George.
Come on, Larry!
Come in, guys!
You know, I think I can hear wedding bells.
In Gary Ogin's The Malingerer's Manual, Rupert was played by Andy Taylor, Jemima by Catherine Heath, and George the Best Man by Rupert Vansittart. Larry Hausman was played by Christian Rodzka, The Excuse Line by Melanie Hudson, and The Deep Voice by Paul Dodgson. Hans Grimchuk was played by Paul Humperlitz, and Mrs. Brahms by Phyllida Danash. The music was composed by Paul Dodgson, and the play was directed in Bristol by Jeremy Howe.
And you can find out how good a malingerer you are by checking out the Malingerer's Manual website at www.malingerersmanual.com.